If you just want to put your hands together and say, praise the Lord. Would you do that? Praise the Lord. Those are three words that every Christian, and three English words that every Christian in India knows. And so when you meet them, they come up to you and praise the Lord. And it's awesome because it kind of means like, hi. It means like, I'm a Christian. It means I know English words. You know, all those things. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of the equivalent of us putting a fish on the back of our car or something like that. So I'm really excited just to share my experiences because I feel like I had the opportunity to go and represent all of you who, you know, we've here in Ontario, we have been involved in chapel missions, you know, maybe 18 years, Paul? No, more than 18, probably 20 or 21 years. And Pastor Guna has come here a couple times to share with us. Who remembers ever seeing? Yeah, several of you. He's a doll. I just fell in love with him so much more and saw such a giant of a man and such wisdom. So it was a delight. I know a lot of you pray for the ministry. I know a lot of you personally support pastors. I know a lot of you personally support a child. And then, of course, since this opportunity came up to go and do these women's retreats, then right after our women's retreat, one of you had the idea, well, since I was sharing at our women's retreat, that the pastor's wives there had been praying. They committed in January when Guna's wife Victoria had the vision to have these retreats. The pastor's wives began filling up the clock and praying around the clock 1 hour a day, so about 24 of them or whatever, they would pray every day since January until these retreats happened. It touched my heart. It touched some of your hearts. So then 24 of you were praying. 24 of our ladies were praying around the clock during these retreats for the ladies for my trip. And I have to tell you, I felt that. A lot of times some of you are ill and prayer chain goes out and you say, oh, I felt your prayers. And this was one of those situations where I really personally felt it. And when I came home and you stopped praying for me and the jet lag hit, it's like, I felt it. But what I want to do tonight is share in two segments. I want to share about this particular mission that we went on and, you know, what the Lord did in that. And then I want to share what I was able to, the love I was able to pour on Chapel Missions India and the things that I want to bring back and share with you to inspire you to continue to, you know, uphold the ministry, because it is completely native Indian run ministry, which I really enjoy. So I want to start with this map. This is the map that that Amber was referring to, and I didn't want to hand it out as you came in, because if you're like me, you'd sit and look at it all night and you'd be reading all about that. So they are available on the table right underneath the big world map back there. And so if you're kind of interested in a geography helps you understand matters, this is really a great thing. And so these are all the areas, like Amber said, the 10 states that there are ministries for Chapel Missions India. But we, because it's, you know, we were only there for 12 days, you can see in red the areas that we physically were in. We flew into Bangalore. We went down into the state of Tamil Nadu and went to Nachikapam, and then we went on a train on up to Kopal, and that's where we had the second women's retreat. So that just geographically maybe helps you understand a little bit some of the things, some of the areas that we were. So I want to start by talking about the Bangalore retreat, and this was the whole thing was an out-of-this-world experience, but you've invested in this retreat for these women. And I think we all know, in America, in any country, we all know that mothers nurture the next generation, right? Investing in women is a huge investment in any society. And so, you know, a women's retreat isn't just like, oh, the girls get to go and have fun. In fact, that's, you know, that is not what they, some of our retreats, we have a little bit of fun. Well, they do too. You're gonna hear that it's not so different than ours, but The last time that Chapel Missions India had a women's retreat was in 2004, and so it's been quite a while, and it was time to do one again. The women, in order, their registration fee to come to this retreat was to memorize two chapters in the Bible. I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 3. And so if they were able to accomplish that, then they could get in. What astounded me is that we still had some women getting saved. And so it is possible to know your Bible and still not be born again. But anyway, that's how they got in. So this is a picture of Pastor Bob's wife Kathy, who is Kathy Caldwell, who is our leader for this trip. And, you know, Kathy had asked me over the last 10 years, it would be so nice if you came to India with us sometime. And I always said, yeah, sometime when all my kids are grown and I'm done homeschooling, because I always felt like if you're going to be homeschooling, you need to be homeschooling and not on the other side of the world. And I, you know, was almost there, but Tim's got his license, he's doing good. And so when this opportunity came up and I realized what they were doing was women's ministry and a women's retreat, I said, Kathy, I think this is my year. I think I'd like to come. This is Victoria, and she's Pastor Guna's wife. So she's our Indian counterpart there in India. And so our team, they're just the most hospitable people in the world. We come, and they put lays on us. And it's very, India is very structured. It's a very ancient, you know, a lot of these countries that are like that, there's a lot of tradition. You come into something, it's a long amount of pomp and circumstance to get into something, and it's a long amount to get out again, you know, at the end. And so they just had us all come up there and greet us and put lays and, you know, introductions and all of that. And so it was pretty exciting. Don't you love the colors? Decor, you know, for the retreat. I just loved it. This picture pretty much sums up our team. There was 9 women that went from Boise. There was also a team you may have heard from Florida, from Calvary Chapel in Fort Lauderdale, and they met us there. But they didn't have a whole lot to do. We sort of just passed and did one day together, and they went on to do some other work up toward the Himalayas. But I wanted to share just a little bit about my respect for how Calvary Boise organizes their missions teams, because once we committed to going on this with this team in March or April, we began meeting together, these 9 ladies, and we met probably 4 times during the summer, and then starting August, every Thursday night for prayer, plus a weekend prayer retreat. And so I really appreciate that as a missions trip. It's not just sign up, pay your money, meet us at the airport. You know, it was a big investment in the team, in getting to know one another, praying for one another, just walking through that together. And so I guess, you know, I just appreciate that about Calvary Boise. So this is a picture of the ladies at the retreat. The room that we were in, this is in Bangalore, and it's at a place called the Prayer Garden. And the Prayer Garden, you're going to find out later on when I show some pictures of the Boys' Home of Hope. It's at the same location. So there's a Boys' Home of Hope. There's a village for special children. And they call HIV children special children. So there's regular and special. And there is a little separate village, although in a lot of the homes, they also have the children mixed together. But I guess I'm getting ahead of myself and talking about the children here. But the Prayer Garden is sort of a conference center and also a children's home. I liken it to our Calvary Chapel Bible College at Murrieta, where it's a conference center and a Bible college together. And it's a fairly big room. I think this room that we were in, I was thinking if you shrunk this down to about 75%, that's probably about the size of the room that we were in. And I think there was 250 ladies in Bangalore. And so Kathy Caldwell started the retreat sessions. Victoria had chosen the theme, A Woman After God's Own Heart. And Kathy opened up with A Heart Devoted to God. And then I had the opportunity to share a heart devoted to her husband. And I had shared with some of the ladies how nerve-wracking it is to share about marriage in a culture that marriage is so different than mine. But the Lord gave me some good things. He was faithful. And it worked out. And when we started talking about respecting your husbands, I said, ask Victoria. Ask your pastor's wife. You know, but I did. I said, you know, my culture, respecting my husband, is a whole different set than what it may look like in your culture. So talk about it. You know, ask your pastor's wife, what does it mean? Give me some ideas and that sort of thing. But I really enjoyed it. And one thing I want to say about the prayers of the pastor's wives in India and the prayers of you ladies was, I'm sure for all of the ladies, when we got up to teach our session, there was such a sense of expectation. And even though there was children and babies running around, they were just fixated on being fed the word. Well, I could have just sat and read the book of Job. And they would have, you know, been just blessed because they brought the expectation. They brought that energy to it and just wanting to hear from the Lord. And you'll see that, you know, even in the pictures. This little gal was our interpreter, and she was interpreting from, of course, my English into Tamil, which is the language in that area. And then I put pictures of her little baby boy. I thought it was so cute how she was feeding. That's how they feed their babies the rice. They just scoop it up, make a little ball of it, and stuff it in their mouths. But she had such a sweet spirit, and we just bonded and loved her a lot. So this is how they roll at a women's retreat. You know, there's just kind of babies laying and napping and women and taking notes. And it was a lot of fun. But I found out it's not really so different than us. We eat. And I put that picture in there just to prove I did learn to eat with my fingers, you know. And they sing. In fact, I have a video here of one of the women's groups. Doing is each of the different churches had been assigned a special song to sing. And it was adorable because some of the ladies dressed like all in blue, you know, a church would get up and they would be all dressed in blue or something and they'd sing their special song. And probably one of the most special things that happened is in our prayer times, in our meeting times as a team, we were assigned a song. We were assigned a song to sing as our church, you know. And so we were supposed to get up and sing this song, which I have the words in my notebook. I got this song and I came home and I think I even shared it with Aaron and some of my family. I said, you know, I'm not worried about sleeping. The food is going to be fine. I don't like this music, you know. I said, I just don't like it. But I was obedient and I persevered, and one of the girls on our team is a real English kind of a girl, and she took the words and she broke them down into like phonetic English for us. Like, have you ever played the game Mad Gab? It was kind of like that. And so we just have it written in Mad Gab style, and we learned the song that way, and we persevered, and even when we practiced it, we were kind of complaining a little bit. Shouldn't have been, but we were. It's like, couldn't we get an easier song, you know? And even the last time we kind of sang it in the hotel room, it's like, well, we should sing and see how it goes. And it was terrible. So it's our turn to sing. It's our turn for our church song. And we all got up on the stage, and I had, you know, shrunk and copied all the words you know, in my notebook, so I kind of had a neat little hymnal thing going, you know. And we were up there, and we started singing. And I just started bawling. The ladies, we started singing their song, I mean, in Tamil. And the ladies went, they just erupted in laughter because we sounded so terrible. And in cheers. And then they started singing with us. And it was just huge. It was just enormous. And it was like, you learned our song, you know, and I just, it took my breath away because it was such a moment of connection, you know. And here the one thing that I was such a baby about, and you know, isn't that how life goes, you know. So if there's anything you're complaining about right now, that might be the best thing that's happening. But so then, and we had a question and answer panel, and that went pretty good. And so all the time we're doing this, this is what the men are doing. The few pastors that came, of course, they just sit out under this dining umbrella, and they're talking. I think they did have some fellowship time in that, too. And then the ladies got together, and they recited their memory work to each other. And then we had a lot of prayer. This retreat was characterized by prayer. The ladies wanted individual prayer from us, like probably each one of us on our team, we probably prayed for 50 ladies just over the course of the 2 days. They would just form lines and just wanted prayer. And rarely would someone know a little bit of English, but they would usually just look at you and, you know, pray and just pray by faith that the Lord knows. But sometimes they would say, you know, it's like, oh, sister, I can relate. You know, okay, I'll pray for your shoulder. And, you know, sometimes there was things, and every once in a while they'd, you know, pray because they wanted a child or something like that. But again, it just really was really humbling just to know that they had such an expectation from the Lord that the Lord was going to meet their needs. So it was really sweet. And of course, the ladies pray with their heads covered, which I loved. I just thought that was such a... Some of us girls were talking. We said, should we do that when we go home? I kind of like that, you know? It's like, yeah, let's. And then you get home, it's like, it's just doesn't, it's not the same here. But, and then they eat, you know, they had the big dining thing. And then they do skits. See, it's just like us, right? So they had a skit, and that's Kathy Caldwell. She's the doctor in the skit. And the skit had something to do, it was all lost in the translation, but it had something to do with husbands that drink and mother-in-laws. Because those are issues. You know, usually a lot of the marriages, they might be old school arranged, or they might be a little bit more modernly arranged, but pretty much the girl comes into the husband's family and lives there for a time, and some of the people were sharing, so that the mother-in-law has a chance to teach the new bride how to make his favorite foods just the way, you know, my boy likes it and all that kind of thing. And so, you know, some of those social issues definitely pop up. And so anyway, they had a skit and it was going on, and look at the reaction of the ladies. You know, they're just loving it. And it just struck me, you know, singing, eating, praying, the word, skits, it's just, you know, the same. Taking pictures. That's what they wanted to do in Bangalore, is take pictures, selfies. I'd say maybe 20, 30 cell phones that the ladies had. You know, this is India, after all. And so, but some of them, you know, we had a lot of cell phones, and a lot of them just like, they'd come up to you, you know, and they just want us to take their picture and show them. I just wanted to see that on the phone, you know. So that was a lot of fun. And then we had parting gifts for them. We had these cross necklaces with a heart in it, because the theme was a woman after God's own heart. And then a group picture at the end. And so there's the whole group. And I don't really think that that's the whole group. I wasn't even there during that time. I was connecting with a few of the boys that some of the people here sponsor. So some of the ladies might have been gone. But and it also gives you an idea of just what the prayer garden looks like, what the landscape looks like right around there. So, and then they leave. A lot of them in trucks, just like that, you know. So it was a very, very sweet time. And there's just some pictures, again, of what the prayer garden looks like. In our team, of that went there. Some of us were on the women's ministry side of it, and a few were on the children's ministry side. And so they did some VBS things, and that's what you kids put together. I don't know if some of you remember, on Sunday morning, you put together those little bags, drew pictures, you had the beads that shared the gospel, and so these kids were able to put those together and be reminded about the gospel or hear for the first time what it was, and they loved it. And of course, a lot of playing, singing, playing, praying. And then when we were done with the Bangalore retreat, we went on up to Kopal. Kopal is a different kind of environment because it's, of course, Bangalore, you've probably heard of Bangalore, and it's become a little Silicon Valley of India. And Kopal, not so much. It's much more organic region. It's much more tribal village life and that sort of thing. And so I just have a few pictures. I wanted you to be proud of me. Those two bags represent 4 days for travel. So, are you proud? And that's just on the platform of the train station. And I wanted to show you the sign too, because the city of Bangalore is going back to its original name of Bengaluru. And so far the transportation has changed over. The airport, you see that new name in the airport, you see it at the train station, but everything in town still says Bangalore. But it used to be Bengaluru until the British came, named it Bangalore. Now it's going back, like a lot of towns are, you know, Bombay is Mumbai and that sort of thing. So there was one of the few places you actually saw the real name of the town. And just fun, I mean, just on a personal level. I'd never overnight slept in a train, especially in India. And those are just some pictures of that experience. And if you look at this picture right here, if you see behind me, you see that man behind me. And I look at this picture and I think, did I really do that? Did I really sleep, like, right next to? And I had the easy part because you can see that's sort of the side of the car. And so there's just like, it's kind of like a camp trailer, kind of like bunk beds in a camp trailer. But on the left side there, you can kind of see the top bunk, and it's like a little room with bunk, 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 and the curtain closes to the aisle. So there you are with four people that you don't know. And I thought, Lord, thank you that you gave me the lower berth both times, and I could just pull my little curtain and be all to myself, you know. But I suppose I would have been fine if I had been assigned a different one. But that was just a neat experience. And so we got to a new hotel. And I just want to share, too, that I didn't know at the beginning what really our conditions were going to be, because I knew that the women just in that big room that you saw, they slept there. And I assumed we would just stay with the women. So they, you know, they get ready, and even their babies and everything, they have alongside the walls, there are all their little overnight bags and sacks and whatever, and they would just sleep on the floor and then just get up and go. And I kind of thought, well, that's where we're going to do. But then at the very end, Pastor Guna's assistant, Sam, was kind of doing a debriefing with us and asking us, you know, how they could do things better for teams that came, and any questions. And one of the girls said, well, it would have been nice to eat a little more with the ladies and that. And he very gently but firmly explained to us that our Western digestive systems just can't handle those kinds of things. And so it's really wise. You know, you bring a team of, you know, 9 or 10 Westerners. There is a lot of wisdom in just putting them in a hotel and letting them eat in the dining room and that sort of thing. And I have to say, they did a superb job, because in our team all together, I think we were 24 completely of all the teams that were going around, and no one got sick. And so that's a testimony to what they've learned and how they've learned to accommodate those things. And so so we got to do some pretty nice hotel staying. The place that we had the second women's retreat, it was the Bible College at in Kopal. I also noticed a lot, everything is called Calvary Chapel Trust in India. That's just, you know, their wording for things. There are only two Bible colleges, and one is really brand new and really just a discipleship training program, and that's in the district of Odessa, where you heard that there was the, you know, hurricane that came in. The other, the main one, is right here in Kopal, and Gunnar chose this because it's a little remote. It's kind of the Eastern Oregon of India, okay? And so it's the place you want to go send young men to and say, you know, why don't you stay there for 2 years? And, you know, if you can do that, then, you know, you're going to be ready to face the challenges. So they found this property in the year 2000, and they began praying in that year for a discipleship training, Bible college, some kind of training for pastors and for the men. And they started building in 06. And so it was just neat to hear about, you know, just, again, it inspired me, that layer of prayer that goes down. You know, it takes a while. You know, you don't harvest in the same season that you plant. And you get an idea and you think that the Lord is showing you a direction and, you know. So anyway, it was a very nice facility. And so here's a shot. That's kind of a dark one. Let me see if I've got a better one here. Yeah, that's a lot nicer. Whew, a little colorful, huh? So this room was much smaller. I think there was about 200 women and in this space. And they were a little bit younger than the Bangalore crowd. And they were there was no cell phones here. You know, the girls didn't come with any cell phones or anything. It was a little... it just had a whole different feel to it. In fact, when we got to the hotel and slept the night before we went there, this region is very Hindu and Muslim, still much more Hindu, but there's a definite Muslim presence and a definite fighting presence, especially now that there's, you know, elections going on and that sort of thing. But there we are in the hotel room, and 5:30, the Muslim called a prayer. You know, the whole little thing is like, this is different. You know, because you certainly don't hear that in Bangalore. You certainly don't hear it here. But that's what you wake up to about 5 o'clock or 5:30. And then right after that, it's the monkeys. You know how when you go to McCall and right before the sunrise, it's the, you know, caw, 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 you know. Well, there it's the monkeys that start their little chattering. So it's just very different. But these were, you know, beautiful ladies. Same thing, you know, lots of babies. Very, very much... level of expectation. You know, you just, I mean, I recall just getting up there and just looking at them getting ready to teach, and they were just like, you know, and I know that's because of the prayer. And I shared at both retreats, I told them about you. And by the way, ours is the only church that prayed around the clock for them. So, good job. But I shared that with them, and I think it really blessed them to know that not only did we care enough to come, but we cared enough to carry them in prayer. And so they also had singing groups that performed, and just pictures of some of the girls and some of the children. There's just, we did a VBS there as well. Some of the children that they brought, did songs and skits and made necklaces and gave them gospel bracelets and did some teaching with them. And then we had a question and answer panel at this retreat as well. And the gal that's leaning on the podium, she was our interpreter. The language up in this area is Canada. And she was a great gal. She's a school teacher by profession. And she looks a little gruff there, but she was really a great woman. We just loved her to pieces. But she did have a commanding presence, she'd say, when, you know, when it was getting too loud, and she'd calm down the room and that kind of thing. We got through the first day of our agenda at the women's retreat, and maybe this was about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon, and we started doing the question and answers. And this retreat was characterized by the question and answers. At the first one, we almost had to, well, honestly, the pastor's wives kind of gave us some questions, because the women just, they didn't want to write down anything. That just wasn't, it was just different. Different personality. But this retreat, the questions just kept coming and coming and coming. And some they would write down and hand to the interpreter, and some they would just... And again, it was... So here's some of the questions that they have. Now that I'm a baptized believer Is it okay for me to wear the dot or not? You know, you've seen the ladies. Even in these pictures, you see some that have the little, you know, Hindu dot, which I learned is sort of like wearing a cross in America. It's like, it may or may not mean anything, you know. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that you're part of the Hindu faith. It's also just cultural. So they had questions like that. Questions like, okay, so what should we do when the hunters come back with game that they from their hunt and they cook it and offer it to the whole village, and we know that they've offered a thanks to the gods who have helped them. Should we eat that? This is just like Bible stuff, you know. I mean, this is just like a throwback in time, you know. And so we're sitting there and these questions come and we all keep going, Victoria? You want to answer that? Because, you know, and so often she did answer questions. Another one was, another question one of the ladies had is, I want to be baptized, but I have heard that the gods will punish my children. What should I do? A question, is it having an idol to have a picture of Jesus in my house? Because so many things, you know, that there are images and pictures that you honor all kinds of different gods. So, you know, the ladies were just hungry to really find out, to really answer the question, now that we're born again, how should we live? How should we live in our culture? How should we live in these circumstances? And I sat way down at the end here because I took this picture and I had positioned myself way down at the end, because at the first retreat I was sitting right next to Kathy and they asked a question about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Kathy said, Sue, you should go up and answer that. So I had to answer that the first retreat, and so I thought, you know, I'm just going to move myself way down to the end at this retreat. But it was really sweet because the one question that somebody submitted, I think it was a pastor's wife, and just to be clear, the women at both of these retreats represented women from multiple churches in the areas, okay, and works, and so there would be a pastor's wife, but there's also lots and lots of the women, and one of the questions was something along the lines of just being so burdened at someone who is backslidden. And, you know, how long should I wait for them to come around? And it was a question kind of like that. And the whole row, I don't know why, but the whole row of ladies, they just turned and looked at me. And I just got up, and it was sweet because, you know, that's what we had talked about at Women's Retreat. You don't harvest in the same season that you plant. And I was able, it was just on my heart, I was able to share that verse from James that says, be patient then until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. And I just appreciated the opportunity to exhort the ladies on multiple levels on difficult things that they're waiting for in their lives, and to persevere and don't give up, to keep going. And that was great, even though I sat way down there because I felt like I'd already talked too much. So we finished up and with the question and answer and kind of went into a little guest room and, you know, look, this is what happens. I think we raided the chocolate in the refrigerator and took pictures, and it's just girls and that's what happens. But we gathered ourselves up and we went back to our hotel. Okay, now this looks amazing, doesn't it? And it was. This courtyard was amazing. The rooms, but the courtyard was like out of this world. So we go back to the hotel. We're feeling pretty happy about how the day went and everything that had happened. And, you know, we're kind of even starting. I think I was even in bed. I think I skipped dinner because I had eaten way too much. I had the best Indian meal of my entire life at lunch in Kapal. But so I wasn't hungry. I think I was in bed. And we all got a call to come to Kathy's room. And so we gathered together, and she shared with us that that the pastor, his name is Navaneeth, And he himself was a boy from one of the Homes of Hope when he was younger. Started this work up here as sort of the head of the Bible College and kind of just a little ahead over this whole area in India, this whole state. And he had gotten a call at the Bible College from the police, and they had said, we heard from our sources in Bangalore that there's 24 foreigners up in Koppal, and we'd like to know what they're doing there. And he kind of gave the standard reply of, well, they're sponsors, and they're here to see their children, because there are children, there are HIV children at the Bible College location, too. So he kind of gave the standard reply, and they said that they would need to come and investigate, and so they would be there in the morning. Now, I've never heard of police making an appointment before to kind of, you know, tell you that they're going to show up, but... And I don't know if they specifically said, we're coming and we're bringing the media with us, or if that's just implied, if Navaneeth just knows how they roll in India, because there's always the media with them to so that they can prove what how amazing of a job that they're doing, you know, so it gets printed in the paper. I don't know which way it went, but so he received this phone call. So Guna and Kathy and Navaneeth and his wife, they kind of had stayed behind when we all went to the hotel and just talked it over and just prayed and sought the Lord's wisdom of, you know, what to do. For my part, I felt like the Lord just gave me the opportunity to just throw me into their world. Like, this happens all the time in their world. This is what life is like in a country like that, where it's not illegal to be a Christian, but it is illegal to convert someone. And we had done an altar call. And so they thought it was in the best interest of everyone to send the ladies home that night. And the reason that they did is we had made these retreat booklets, just like we do in America. You know, you get a little retreat booklet, has lines, you can take notes. And it had the picture, photograph of every speaker, had their name printed on it, had their topic printed on it. Many of the ladies at both retreats came and wanted autographs. Well, you know, like, God bless you, you write a verse or whatever. So there's 500 of these pieces of evidence kind of all over. And the pastor and Kathy and Guna, they just thought, you know, we're not going to ask the ladies to give those back. That's precious to them. That's something that, you know, that was given, and we don't want them back. But we can't leave all these women here with all these books, because we all came on a tourist visa, not a missionary visa, and so they just decided, you know, they're just going to go home tonight, and so they sent them all home. There was a few of them that had long travel. Some of the ladies had come to 10 hours, and I think they just put them in Koppal for the night, and they left in the morning. And just kind of cleared out the Bible College and, you know, put it all back to the way it was. And so Kathy's sharing this with us. And, of course, here's a group of ladies, you know, and all this drama going on. And we're like, you know, we need to pray. And it was really sweet at that time to just have that presence of two of the men in our group, Julio and Scott, that's in ministry at Calvary Boise, just to bring the level down in the room a little bit. And they were so sweet, because we're all praying, and Julio's just, Lord, let's pray like we'd sleep like babies, you know. And it was really sweet. And, you know, we were concerned we weren't really concerned for us, because the worst thing that can happen is you just get sent home, you know. But for Victoria and for Kathy, who wants to go back every year and, you know, twice a year, we just, you know, we just really prayed. And we asked the Lord, we said, Lord, would you just send a diversion so that there's something bigger than this that shows up tonight and they'll kind of forget about this whole thing? Well, Guna comes in the morning, and what do you know? There was two bombs that went off because of this Muslim-Hindu conflict thing really close to us. In fact, it even made the newspaper. And so there you go. And they never, then the police never showed up. They never said another thing about it. I don't think they forget, you know, is the thing. And so in my journal, I really made a commitment to pray for Navaneeth, for that ministry, for those people. You know, we're really careful, you know, as Westerners, we don't want to come into an area like a Western whirlwind. And, you know, just do they know best, and we're there to love them, to support the pastors that are there, that living among the people. And so that was the end of that retreat. It ended up being just one day long, although I just had a sense that we were done. I mean, I felt fully satisfied with that one day, because that question and answer session went on and on and on, and it's like, we're good. We had one day that's as good as it gets in this region. We should be thankful and, you know, and to go. So now we're sitting there waiting to, you know, get back on the train in a couple days, and we have nothing to do. And Gunn is so wise. He thought, you know, you said you're tourists. You came here as tourists. And so we got an unexpected tourist day. So he hired a bus driver, and we spent a whole day touring what tourists do in India, which was really cool for me. Just personally, I enjoyed it. I loved it because it really helped me understand when we didn't go there to tour and see things. We went there for the people, but we got a day to see the things. So I'm just going to kind of roll through some of these pictures. So we went to Hampi Village. Spelled H-A-M-P-I, and Gunn is precious. We're on a bus. He goes and hires a tour guide, and then somebody says, well, what are we going to see here? He goes, I don't know. I've never been here before. We'll learn something new. And we all did, and I learned so much. And then he's such a strong leader that we hired the tour guide, and he probably shares one or two of his little scripted sessions, and then Gunnar just takes over and just tells us, you know, runs the rest of it, which was precious. But these are all ruins of Hindu temples. When the Muslims over the centuries would come in, they would come and deface the temples, knock off elephant noses and different things. And as soon as there was any defacing of the temples, then they would abandon them and no longer worship there. And so this place is signified by all kinds of these, you know, abandoned temples, which are very interesting architecturally. There's a kind of a picture of our team. Kathy's not in there because I think she had stayed back for some reason. But that's most of the rest of us there. And just give you an idea of what this looks like. There was a lot of this kind of rockscape that we had to walk up and down, and I wasn't paying attention, wearing flip-flops. I did slip and fall. I did break open the skin. It was on wet pavement, which is not good. And so this little gal in the front, she's a nurse, and she had this Top Gun antibiotic with her. She saw to it that I got doctored up, and that was great. But we'll go ahead and just give you an idea of what this area looks like.
Look at my heart, Jake. Okay.
Calm out.
We did go to this temple. Gunna sort of gave us his take on, you know, what we should do as tourists. And he says, yeah, you can go into the outer temple and all that. He said, don't go inside. Don't go in, you know. And so, you know, we did just that. And if you ever, you know, wondered about the cows, yes, all over. Cows, pigs, and stuff. That now this was kind of in the temple area, but just down the streets and all that kind of thing. But this is something right here that really captured my heart, and I felt like the whole day was so significant for me, because we went to one of the main parts. This is the temple elephant, and what you do is you pay your 10 rupees and you get a blessing. And so if you want 10 blessings, you pay 100 rupees and all that kind of a thing. And by the way, if you give him a banana, he'll eat the banana, no blessing, only money. He only does blessing for money. But it's like the stars aligned for me when I was watching these people. And a lot of them were just tourists. There was just like, it was a photo op for them. But I watched as, you know, they give him the money. I wish I had a picture, and he would, you know, put his little trunk over them, do the blessing. And the day really signified for me, in all other religions in the world, you give something, God will bless you. The God will bless you. You produce something, you do something, and then you'll be okay. It's always you initiate a giving of some kind. Just like the elephant. You pay your 10 rupees, you get the blessing. And I thought, how beautiful for our brothers in India to be able to go among people like this and say, I want to tell you about a God that wants to bless you first. And then you give your life back to him, you know. And it was really a neat image to roll that over in my mind and realize it's all. Every other religion is like that. Produce, be good enough, give something. And so I was grateful that our trip was a little bit detoured, just really to see that image. And you know, we watched the magicians. We went down to the river. It was such a hot day. It was terribly hot. So we went down to this river, and Guna had the idea that we should rent these Moses baskets, which we did. And we went down the river, and there's all these temples along the river, and you can kind of see some stairs. And so people would use the river as access to get into these Hindu temples, and, you know, probably, I don't know, I'm sure that they felt like there was something special about it. But here was a guy just waiting. He had built a Moses basket, which is just woven with reeds, covered with tar, and it holds 6 people and him. And we just got in. I never, you know, there wasn't any FDA or OSHA sticker on it or anything saying you won't drown in the middle of the river. We just got in. That's how everything goes there, you know. In fact, it was so funny in the traveling, you know, you see just like, you know, a mom and dad and 2 or 3 kids on the motorcycle, you know, a baby, all this kind of stuff. Just way over here, and then I think about America where we can't even keep a car seat for like 12 months, and then you need to like discard and get a new one, and I'm like, okay, they're both like way out of balance. Does it exist any place in the middle where there's just some common sense, you know? But anyway, so that's kind of what the Moses basket looked like, and he just paddled us on down the river, and it was fun. It was a great day. It was just fun with the team. To work together as a team and play together, I should say, as a team. I want to backtrack just a little bit because I want to quickly get to part 2. Up in Kopal, we saw something really amazing. We saw Guna and the pastor just like doing their thing. They took us out to a village. The people weren't expecting us. This is just what they dress like every day. They hadn't been there before. Guna just calls everybody together. Please come. He has them all sit down, and he just knows how to like command a group and get them to do. And so first this 82-year-old grandma, she dances for us, and then these ladies do their dance. The whole purpose is, if we get you to entertain us, then we'll entertain you, and we'll tell you a little bit about Jesus when we entertain you. Isn't that something? And so then Guna got everybody to sit down, and then he taught the children a song, something about Esu Papa, you know, Papa Jesus, and he teaches them a song and talks a little bit, and he turns to us as a team and he goes, that's all. That's all we do today. We plant seeds. And then we just talk. He finds the village Swami in the group, begins to talk to him right there. And this guy had kind of a little like pet insect, dragonfly sort of thing on a string. And, you know, we toured his home, the Swami's home, and we left. But I just couldn't believe what I saw. I just, you know, just a master at just coming into a place and just knowing how to plant some seeds. And he said, they'll come back later. They'll come back later and do some watering. And that's how he opens the door. Okay, I want to share some things to encourage you about just the ministry at Chapel Missions India. And again, the map of some of these areas. I want to go through some of the projects and the homes that we visited. The first day that we were there, and this is quite an introduction to India, we did do went to a leprosy home. And, of course, I love the translation, welcomes you, leprosy home. We visited two leper homes across the freeway from each other, and one is Chapel Missions India project, and the other one is the government leprosy home. And the reason that they planted it right there was that so that they had their own presence, and then they could minister to the people that were in the government home, because really all they're given is like three meals a day of rice. It's kind of almost like being put in prison in a way. It's like, here's your village, nobody comes to visit you, you can't leave, here's your meal. It's kind of a sad place. So once a month, Calvary Chapel provides a really wonderful kind of a banquet meal for them. And so we were greeted with this welcoming band, which sounded like this. And just to prove that I did dance with them, there we go. But look at this lady. Look at her. She's dancing. Almost all of her fingers are gone. And I know that right now that from Boise, there's a medical mission that has gone to do mostly leprosy project. And I know that they make little mitts that help hook spoons and different things in there so that they, just have an easier time with some things. But they just welcomed us like we were the president of the United States, you know, the flowers and the chalk drawings, and, you know, it was just really out of this world. You can see there some of the petals up in the air. And I'm going to go kind of lightning speed through this. What we did is we had a little program with them. We sang, we taught them, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And, we just kind of encouraged them a little bit. Just picture some of the people there. The gal, right, with the gal with the dot there, she was just a sweetheart. Loved her to pieces. She seemed to be able to communicate with her eyes. You know, some people can do that. And she kind of led us around. This man wanted us to go to his hut and see his 10-day-old baby. And, like, he took us a long way. He was so proud. You know, people don't visit. People don't visit except Christians. And so they don't see the outside world. Only the people, Chapel Missions people from the other leprosy camp and teams, they're the only people that come. And so he was just like, I have a baby. You want to see my baby? And that's what the street looks like that he was living on. There are some buildings. There's some huts like that. He lived in a hut like that. And there's some forts. It's just kind of all, it was a little bit even too overwhelming to ask very many questions on the first day. But we prayed for a lot of them. That's what we did. We served. They had made this feast for the day. They had chicken biryani in these great big tubs. And then I'm serving kind of a pudding-ish, tapioca-ish kind of a thing. And then they had eggs and bananas for the people. We spent time praying with them. A lot of the people in the government home are not believers. It's an outreach to them. And then I want to move on to talk about the children's homes. And the first one that we went to is in this same, this leper colony you'll see on, when you grab a map, was in the state of Tamil Nadu. And also is where this home is. This is a home for children, both boys and girls. Beautiful ironwork there in the gate. This is what they call the palace. Maybe you've heard about the palace, and the palace has a great history to it. I forget how long they've had it, but the palace was owned by a very evil king back in the day. And he didn't like, he used to take him up to the top and tip him off the edge. He was the village, you know, hated this evil king. Well, he finally died, and I don't know if he didn't have any successors or what it was. The palace was abandoned. Well, in a culture like that, nobody's going to buy a palace where there was an evil king, because there's a lot of superstition, and so it sat empty and empty, and Chapel Missions found out about it. Don't quote me on this, but I think they picked it up for $9,000 or something like that. It's just an adorable place. And so this is a home of hope in that state for both boys and girls. And so we gathered. Of course, the children did programs. They sang and they danced for us. We gave them out bubbles. We just brought every team member packed suitcase just filled with different kind of stuff, candies, chocolates, bubbles, barrettes, all kinds of stuff that we took and shared with the kids when we visit. There's wild parrots on the outside. Can you see the green parrots there? Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Just a real tropical kind of a place. And it's just set right in the middle of a village. The property is only really that building-ish thing there. And everything else that you see is really just part of the surrounding village. Now, I want to go back to the prayer garden. The home of hope for boys is at the prayer garden, which we had that first retreat at in Bangalore. And there's just kind of signs. They have these signs at every children's, or I should say at every home. And they're kind of like little wipe-off boards because there's a lot of flux with the children. But they show how many regular children. You'll see on that one, I think it says you can read full orphans and semi-orphans because some children are completely abandoned and this is their new home. Some of them, maybe the father died, the mother is ill. They're not technically a complete orphan, but yet no one can take care of them. But they might have some relatives that they would go to visit and that sort of thing. So I just appreciate the statistics. And in these homes, I'll tell you, the kids, they're very, very ordered and very structured. And I love that. I love seeing that firsthand, the order and the structure. They sit in rows and lines, and it's a beautiful thing. It's not a hindrance for them at all. This is the boys coming home from school. They do go to the public school, the ones that can, the ones that are the regular children get to go to the public school. And even I think the special children can go as long as they don't have any open cuts or sores or anything like that. And then they stay back if something like that is going on. But you can just see this is just how everything goes. It's like you have your space, but it's all with everybody else's. They do dishes the same way. They have their plate, their cup, they go get it, they do their meal, they wash it, it goes back, you know, in just like that. And these boys were just being kind of cool. And I connected with Chris's boy, Chris Ward's boy, and Kilpatrick's boy. There gave him some letters from the people, and I had some bouncy balls with me. And these particular boys didn't seem to speak any English, and so we were doing kind of some interpreting because the man didn't seem to speak that much English either. But he was doing his best. Anyway, we were getting along okay, and we're told you're really not, they don't want you to hug the kids and all that kind of stuff. It's not part of their culture. Don't come in, you know, and just, you know, do that kind of thing. And so sometimes your meeting with the kids feels a little stiff by our standards, but I'll tell you what, you get out the bouncy balls. I had a little sack of those little bouncy balls and started, you know, kind of throwing, and then we had a great time. You don't need any language if you have bouncy balls. So I connected with those boys. And then we had one of the funnest projects, one of the funnest times for me of the retreat. This gal, my friend Carrie from Boise, and she's a hairdresser. And Guna was having a lot of fun just visiting with her one day and saying, how much do you charge? And she said, well, $30. Oh, and he's laughing. Oh, you'd be so rich here. You know, haircuts are a dollar there. And he, all of a sudden he got the idea. He said, can you teach the boys to cut hair? She's like, yeah, I can do that. You come back. You come back last day. You come back and you teach the boys. You teach three boys cut hair. I save money every month. And so I volunteered to come with Carrie because I know barely. I know about a half inch worth of cutting hair. But I thought she just needed a chaperone. So I came back with her and we had the best time. We went to a beauty supply place, bought three good scissors, good combs, and no one spoke English, and that was a lot of fun. And then we went back to the boys' home and we selected three boys that wanted to learn. And this one boy in the upper far right, he was serious about this. It was so fun to watch him. He was just like, I have met my calling in life. I never knew I was supposed to be a barber. And it was like there was a halo around him or something while we were doing this. It was so adorable. And so there's all the boys. And of course, they were laughing and giggling, and the men were laughing and giggling because girls don't cut boys' hair in India. And especially not a cute little, blondie girl like, she was. And, okay, so the whole time I was seeing these little rickshaws, and I thought, oh, how fun that would be. And so that's how we got out there. So Guna sent us out in this little rickshaw, and it was, that was our driver. So it was a fun experience to do that. Also, at that same location, at the prayer garden, there's a little bit of a separate village. It's called the Home of Hope for Special Children. There's the gate for it. You have to kind of go through the garden a little bit and then down the path. And these are all HIV children. And so we went and visited them. And the girl there that you see, the tallest girl with the blue scarf, she herself was raised in the Home of Hope. And this is the beauty of the Home of Hope. I'll just talk about it a little bit right now. When these children come into the home, it's not an orphanage in terms of what you'd think about, like here it's a holding place until someone comes and selects someone that they want to take. That's not what it is. They come, they live, they become part of the family. Many of the pastors throughout all of Chapel Missions India are boys from the Home of Hope. They're Guna's children. They're his sons, in a way. And this girl that's the caretaker for this little village, she was raised up in the home, went and received her nursing education, and she comes back and she's the caretaker of this little flock of children. So it was just really special to see. And of course, Bob and Kathy have this link with these people that goes back 25 years. So when you're with Kathy, she knows them and she's like, oh, how are you doing? And so now you're the caretaker now, and good for you. And it's just sweet. They were doing a little song there. I just wanted to show you that they have a lot of fun things for the kids just in terms of wildlife and flowers and that. It was laundry day. There's a little playground there. Then we went back into Bangalore and toured the Home of Hope for Girls. So they're separate. And you can tell this looks very urban, and it is. It's in town, and that's a very nice facility. Again, Guna's pointing out, how many children and all of that sort of thing. This is the courtyard, and I don't know, it almost had an Asian feel. It almost felt a little Japanese to me. Just had a sweet spirit, very nice. I don't know if you can read. Can you read the top of that chart where it says Wake Up in the corner? Can you read the numbers on there? 4:45 is Wake Up. Morning prayer is from 5 to 5:30. And they get in their rows, just like you saw the boys. Their rows and their columns, and they're on the floor. And for a half hour, they're on the floor like this, all praying out loud in the dining room. I'd love to be there at 5 in the morning and witness that. But they always want to know, you sponsors, you that are sponsors, please do send a letter with a picture, names. They will pray for you every day. They want to pray for their sponsors. Guna has drilled that into them. It's just very sweet. So he gave us a tour of this facility, and I do want to get to, this is the kitchen, and this gal here is making masala tea for us. And by the way, we're going to have some tea and biscuits later on if I ever get done tonight. But I want to show you this video of Guna telling us a little about the girls' home.
Sleeping place. They sleep on the floor. I already told you the way they should sleep on the floor. That means we wanted to connect the children with the community. The community where they are coming from is the poorest of the poor, where most of the people, they sleep on the floor. So since they go to their relative's house or parents or somewhere for the holidays, They should not ask the, if I can provide the car, no problem.
Right.
You will donate. But they will go back to the village. They will seek for the part. Now, here sleeping means they never bother. Number two, when they are growing a missionary, they will have the better life. They can sleep anywhere, everywhere. No, so that's the thing. Children never given the blanket, never given the pillow. No pillow, no bed. Only the mat is given. They lay down and sleep. So the caretaker's room is here. Here the caretaker stays. Every 10 children for the normal children, every 10 children, one caretaker. Special children, every 5 children, one caretaker. Every baby, one caretaker. So that is the criteria we have. So here 10 children, one caretaker is staying here. Most of the caretakers are our own children. Our own children, now they have studied nursing and teacher training, all God brought back to them to work. That's the biggest blessing we receive now. Mm-hmm. So they are the treasure. We are unable to find caretakers, say now like, yes, with Mary, then. So yes, with Mary, she's one of the caretakers, she's taking care of these children. She came as a baby, so she's taking care of these children. She completed that. So like we have our own caretakers, own province, you know, or like our own family.
Isn't that sweet? She came as a baby, and now she's a caretaker. I don't know if you could understand a lot of what he was saying, but he said, you know, regular children, 10 children, one caretaker, special children, 5 and one caretaker, babies, one to one. And this is the sick room. So they sleep on the floor, no pillow, but if you're sick, look what you get. So I thought that was sweet. And here's some of the children here. These are the girls. Of course, this is the girls' home. And they did a play for us. And they sang. That song is our song. That's the song that we sang. And it just kept popping up multiple times. And so we sang it with the girls. We also sang it one Sunday morning in the hotel room. And yeah, it was just touching to see, you know, Guna, you know, sing that song with us. But we connected with Kanchana, who is our children's ministry girl that we're supporting from children's ministry. Kids, this is the girl that you guys pray for, that you bring money for. They pronounce her name Kanchana. And I got to visit with her just a little bit. And I actually have a video of her dancing, which maybe I'll give to Miss Beth and let you see that. But she was a real doll. And then there's letters that she had just written for us. And of course, it says she called my dear Amber Thistle uncle. Something got lost in the translation. But of course, it's a traditional society, and everyone has a title. It's either Brother Guna, or it's Sister Kathy, or Auntie Kathy. But usually they put the title afterwards. So it's Paul uncle, Sue aunt, you know, and that. This little gal is an example of that one-on-one that I wanted to talk to you about. She's a brand new HIV baby and just came into the home. And so they gave her to a 15-year-old girl to be her mother. You know, one of the girls in the home, has been raised up. She's 15. She's now the caretaker for this girl. And I watched them together. I didn't get a picture, but I watched them, that connection, and I just watched them beam. They were both really pleased to have somebody. We also saw this happen firsthand the very last night that we were there in the hotel lobby. Guna and Victoria were sitting in the lobby, and they had a little boy with them, which isn't unusual. And I didn't really think anything of it until I started talking with them, and I found out he was a brand new boy. And they just got him that day. He'd just been with them for a few hours. And how the way that he came was he was left on a train. And so finally, when someone in the train station or on the train realized that this child had been abandoned, that's not too hard to figure out there. What they do is they take him to a hospital first thing because they want to know the condition. They want to know if he's an HIV boy or whatever. Took him to the hospital, found out he was HIV. Well, there aren't very many places to turn, so they call Guna. He has a very good reputation. We have an excellent reputation with all the authorities in India. And so they call him, said, "We have a boy. Would you come get him?" "Okay, we'll be there." So they came and got him. Kathy named him, gave him a name. They don't know a thing about this boy. So she named him Lamech, which is Guna's middle name. And they were deciding on, you know, which home to put him in. And that's just how it goes. And I was just sitting there. It's like, oh, this is how it works. I just watched you come in. And to think about it, that in 20 years, he could be a pastor somewhere, you know. So it was really sweet to watch it. So does anybody have any questions that you'd like to ask about the ministry? If I don't know the answers, Amber can find out some answers for us.
How big of a regional area does Pastor Guna cover?
The whole of India. It's really all of India. And it is a partnership with it was forged between Calvary Boise and Guna, Pastor Bob and Pastor Guna. And really, their intention in the beginning, in 1989, their intention was to start churches. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to evangelize India. That's not what the Lord had in mind. The Lord had a much slower process in mind. And the process was not to just find people to start evangelizing and pastoring churches. The process was to take in children, to establish yourself as people who do good in the community, and to raise up those children to, you know, to just go out all over and lead the ministry. I wanted to share a couple things about believers and pastors. When someone comes to the Lord in India, they don't baptize them right away. They sit and wait and measure their life and often even go to their homes and make sure they've gotten rid of all their idols and everything. But it was really interesting to sit and talk about this, that being born again and being baptized in their culture is, there's a season in between that to make sure that they're serious about this and they intend to walk this out. So you don't find many backslidden Christians because they've counted the cost. They've been serious about saying, yes, I want to do this. Second thing is with the pastors, first they're sent out as an evangelist into a community. They're expected to start a children's center, which means like a Sunday school or some kind of after-school evangelism sort of thing. And a children's, either that and or a home for children. And through that process, they, you know, evangelize the communities. And in a lot of those communities where you can't just do that kind of verbal evangelism, what I heard some of the pastors talking about was they just let your light so shine, you know, that they may see your good deeds and praise of your Father in heaven. They just do good. They feed people. They take care of people. And they pray that the Lord would give them visions. And they wait for somebody to have a vision and come to and talk to them and that sort of thing. Anyway, they are evangelists first, and they have to prove themselves in an area to be ordained as a pastor. They have to have so many converts, they have to have a harvest, and then they're ordained as a pastor. So I thought that was interesting.
Could you clarify, Sue, it was a pastor's wife's retreat?
No.
No.
It was a women's retreat.
It was a women's retreat. So
yes.
Were they all married?
No.
Mm-mm. And were the children disruptive?
The Lord just covered it. They didn't run around. Like, they were as good as these children here. These children are perfect tonight. But they would just kind of toddle over to, you know, different places. But remember, we were doing a VBS. And so anybody about 3 and older could go out with them. So it was just really the toddlers and the babies that were in the room.
I bet you just wanted to bring all those kids home with you. I would.
I know.
My arms wouldn't be big enough to just wrap around all the
It's
kids.
True. It's all true what people say. They're so adorable. And it was hard not to be a little bit, embracing, you know, it was hard not to just, you just want to scoop up, you know, my own little granddaughters, I like to scoop them up, have them on my lap, and it's hard to hold back.
What's Guna's criteria for bringing kids in? Because I'm assuming there's more than they could possibly handle.
Mm-hmm.
So when the authorities call and say, we have one, mm-hmm. like, oh, good, we had an opening, we'll take him.
Mm-hmm. I know what he'd say. He'd say, we pray. You know, I don't think he has a criteria. He just, and that when they started doing HIV, that's what Pastor Bob will say, is like when they took the first HIV child, they were like, we can't do this. This is too big. There's no possible way we can do this. But by faith, they just start walking. So I don't know really how to answer.
Was it a lot of fun?
Yes, it was.
Just with the HIV children, do they have the medication?
They do.
And because I know that's very expensive.
It is. And I don't really know. I think the government actually pays for that.
Okay.
My friend Carrie was there when the boys were getting there. They just line up and every night they get their, you know, their pill. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard Guna say that the government actually does pay for their pills.
Good.
Yep.
Okay, the kids that grew up in the orphanage, you said the one became a nurse and came back. What is that, besides going into the ministry, what do they know what some of the others have done mm-hmm. that are of age to be on their own?
Yeah, that would be a really good question. I don't know, a lot of them, if they have the capacity for it, a lot of them go to government schools, they go to universities. I've gotten the sense they all want to come back. You know, they have such a sense of mission that I think it's like a small percentage that do something else. They all serve some way, maybe not technical in Calvary Missions, but maybe for the girls, some of them actually marry. I know Guna has helped to, you know, do a little matchmaking in a lot of times too, so.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of times that there were battles kind of going on between the Hindus and the Muslims. Mm-hmm. Is that true with Christianity as well, or there's no persecution of Christians or anything in that country?
I'm sure there is. You know, the Pastor Nabaneeth that we were with in Kapol, he's been beat up before. And I'm sure there is. I probably don't really know enough to say what it is. Yeah.
How often do groups like yours visit India?
Well, there are quite a few mission teams. Now, there was a youth retreat kind of thing in that same location in Kapol in May. And, just as big of an event, and there wasn't any fuss about it. Nobody fussed. But I know that they keep everything inside walls. Like they keep it it's in their location, it's inside, and it's, in general, it's okay that way. I don't know why this created a fuss this time. A lot of the mission teams that go there's several different ones that go right now. There's a medical team, and they're doing crazy stuff. I mean, a lot of surgical stuff, really helping with the lepers and that sort of thing. And then there also, Boise does Open Your Heart tours, which is just sort of like, do you want to go to India and see what Chapel Missions India is about? You can go on this tour and, you know, pay your money and you'll stay in the hotel and you get to visit the homes a lot like this, you know. So they have teams. And when they do that, they also go and visit the leper colonies because those people are almost like I said, like in prison. Like they don't get visitors. So a team comes from America, you get to visit, you know.
So did you get a sense of how the local church functioned there? Like, you know, we meet on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
two services, and we have events through the week and the Wednesday night service. Did you see how, you know, the local fellowship was interacting at all?
Yeah, I think a lot the same. I don't know like how much that they can get together. Obviously, they have their Sunday services. And when you support a pastor, you are kind of supporting. And Paul, I would like to play that one of Guna and the pastor, because there's just good stuff there. And then we'll end with that one. But if you're supporting a pastor, you're just kind of taking care of like his basic needs. And the churches are expected to grow, to do a building and to, you know, provide a place to come together so that the church's tithes and offerings are going to, you know, try and get a place that they can meet and come together as a body and encourage. So, however often, Julio and Chrissy were able to go and visit a pastor in his home in the slums early one morning because they're Mexican and they look Indian. And so they were able to, you know, go because if anybody in the neighborhood sees Westerners come in, suspicions raise about money. Why are they here? Do they have money? Now you must have money, and it's just not good for the local pastors. So they went early in the morning to visit this pastor, and Chrissy couldn't talk for a while because it was just, it was a pastor in the slums, and, you know, she said the six of them, four kids and mom and dad, they seriously, their house was the size of one of her kids' bedrooms, whole house, and they've chosen to go and live there. So if you're supporting a pastor like that in the slums, you're helping them sustain just food, basic kind of things. He's working for Harvest in that community to establish a congregation, have converts, to, you know, perpetuate the gospel, and to raise up a church and a place for them to meet. So,
busy?
It was very busy. It was crazy busy.
How did the people in the leper colonies get food if they're just kind of like stuck in that little village?
In the government colony, they give them 3 meals a day of rice. That's what we were told, is that they get rice for three. So when the CMI comes in once a month with chicken biryani and bananas and eggs, it's Thanksgiving. You know, it's a Thanksgiving meal. And so it was a real festival, you know, for them. But, you know, kudos to the government. They don't abandon them. They, you know, they give them a place, a little plot of land and some food. Gail has one question. Then after that, we'll play that one section.
You mentioned at one point, one of the ladies asked for prayer to have a child. Is infertility an issue in that country?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I just don't know. There was one particular video that Pastor Guna wanted to... I had all the videos that people, pastors that people sponsor here, but I wanted you to hear this one because it's kind of precious.
My assistant and his wife is my wife's assistant. They are contributing a lot to the ministry in the past nearly 18 to 20 years. So not only that, they come from the very, very poor background. Now God blessed them as a father and mother of many souls. Many people here know. They have a very good harvest in the city of Bangalore. So kindly pray that still God must use them. More than that, the children, they have two children are there, Jabba and Abi, and both are children of God, and they have very good testimony, good youth leaders. And you pray that they will be the good youth leaders. They must bring good fruits in the future. Please pray for them.
I think that's the pastor that Kathy Dillahaye had sent a message to. But I loved what he said, two things he said in there. He talked about this pastor was known because he had a very good harvest in his community. And the other thing was that he talked about his own children. And I love the words, he had a very good testimony because his children were serving the Lord. And so that was just precious. We're done.
I'm here to help you bring this in for a landing. But this has been really great. We realize that all this information may be something that you are considering acting on in some particular capacity. Amber, the reason Amber opened up our service, in case you don't know here tonight, is that she oversees kind of our missions outreach to the body, to keep missions in front of the body. And she would like very much to talk to you if you are interested in getting involved, sponsoring a child, sponsoring a pastor, or whatever you may want to do to help out. So get with Amber if that's something that the Lord has been speaking to your heart about doing. So, and we'd love to see you get involved. Several of you here tonight are already sponsoring a child or doing some other work of the ministry as it relates to India. In some cases, some of you guys are praying, and I don't want to say just praying either, because that's enormous. And, you know, maybe you would even like to just connect with Amber on that level of just prayer and so forth. Please do that. So anyway, yeah. No, you got a microphone.
So landing gear is down, but I had sincerely my parting words. I just want to thank you so, so much for every one of you that prayed, that connected, that just sent me with such a sense of like, we're behind you here. And, you know, I tried to impart that when I went. I tried to bless them and say, there's people that love you and that care and support. And I think that they really got it. So thank you.
ஜெஃப் பிரதர் அவர்களுக்கு இந்தியாவிலிருந்து நான் உங்களுக்கு வாழ்த்துக்கள் தெரிவித்துக் கொள்கிறேன். எங்களுக்கு அவருக்கு உதவி செய்யறதுனால நாங்கள் குடும்பமாக அவருக்கு நாங்கள் நன்றி சொல்கிறோம். எங்களுடைய ஊழியத்துக்காக நாங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறோம். அவங்களுடைய ஊழியத்துக்காக பிள்ளைகளுக்காக நாங்கள் தொடர்ந்து ஜெபிக்கிறோம். நன்றி.
அனுதினமும் நாங்கள் ஜெபிச்சுட்டு அவங்களுக்காக இருக்கோம்.
போட்டோ உங்களுடைய ஃபேமிலி போட்டோ இருந்தால் ஒன்று அனுப்பிச்சு
Thank you for your kind words, and we are really blessed to be sponsored by you, and we'll pray for you and your family and for your ministry. Please do keep us in your prayers and our ministry in prayers. Please send us your family pictures so that we can pray for you daily. Thank you.
Thank you.
உங்களுடைய வீடியோ கேமரா நான் ரொம்ப பார்த்தேன். ஆக்சுவலாக உங்களை பார்த்தோன்னே ரொம்ப சந்தோஷமாக இருந்தது. நீங்கள் வந்து எங்களுக்கு வந்து இந்த மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு வந்து கல்வாரிஸ்தபுள் மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு செய்கிற உதவிக்காக ஹெல்ப்புக்காக உங்களுக்கு நன்றி சொல்ல கடமைப்பட்டிருக்கிறேன். தொடர்ந்து எங்களுடைய ஊழியர்களுக்காக நீங்கள் அதிகமாக ஜோம் பண்ணுங்க. தொடர்ந்து நாங்களும் உங்களுக்காக நாங்கள் அதிகமாக ஜோம் பண்ணுறோம். நீங்கள் எங்கள் மேலே வச்சுருக்க அன்பிற்காக
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
மிகுந்த நன்றி. அவங்களுக்காக நாங்கள் தொடர்ந்துச்சோம். கேத்தி ஆண்டிக்காக, கேத்தி ஆண்டிக்காக எங்களை விசாரிக்கிறதுக்காக, எங்கள் மேல அன்பும் இரக்கமும் பரிவும் வச்சிருக்கிறதுனால நாங்கள் அவங்களுக்காக தொடர்ந்து நாங்கள் உற்சவம் பண்றோம். ஊழியத்துல நாங்க என்ன சாட்சியா நிக்கணும், அதுக்காக எங்களை தொடர்ந்து உற்சவம் பண்ணுவோம்.
They're happy that they're being sponsored by you, and they'll pray for you, and they're requesting you to pray that they'll stand at a living testimony for the Lord and bring more souls to the place. Thank you.